to the book of Hebrews real quickly. We're going to read two verses, then I'm going to let you be seated. Thank you, guys. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be reading verse 35 and verse 36. And it reads like this. In the New King James Version, it reads, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings to you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We know your word never returns void. It always goes out. It always accomplishes exactly what it intends to accomplish. I only pray now, God, that you would give me the grace and you would give me the clarity and the understanding to be able to transmit this word, my God, to your people. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Turn to somebody and say, God has a lot for you. And he wants you to give it to you. You can be seated. I literally had to put in big, bold, red letters on my notes, "Please ask everyone to be seated." Doesn't mean you can't stand up during the service or shout, you know. But I'm just saying, I mean, we had a couple of weeks run there where we're not sure what happened. So let's end with that. Before I continue to speak here this morning, I want to welcome some very special people today. Again, it's good to see you, Val. Good to see you here in the house this morning. Amen. It's been really sick, but God's holding you. You're enduring. We have some very special people here that have here for the very first time, and it's our pleasure to serve you and to be able to worship with you and be able to speak this morning. Hope and pray that God will speak to your heart, and that also that if you're looking for a home church, if you're looking for a place where you can come and grow and a place where that has a vision to reach people, and that you come into the right place this morning. We want to welcome you on behalf of my wife and our ministers and our staff. But we want to welcome Grace, Samantha, Adrian, Dominique, Jimmy, Rita, Stephanie, and Veronica for the very first time here at Victory Outreach. And I'll take this little card with me. I take it home and literally take it home. And every single morning for the whole week, this whole week, I pray for these names, for you. And so I hope that I can meet you right after service and put a name to a face, and just say hello to you. So I'll be out there as soon as I can get out right after service. But also pray for you. And then at the end of the year, we actually take all those cards and we pray for all those needs. So we continue to pray every week, and we hope and pray that God will speak to your heart this morning. Hope and pray that if you're looking for a house, or if you're visiting from maybe out of town and you come here frequently, listen, I hope you're amongst family. And don't forget, when you're in town, we hope and pray that you'll come and worship with us again. Amen. You know, we've been challenged since the beginning of the year. We've been talking about this word called elevate. We've spoken about it. And it seems like everywhere I look, everywhere I travel, everywhere I go, every corridor, every sign, I see the word elevate. At the hospital the other day, I saw elevate. I was actually with Val. And it says elevate right there on the screen. Then I was with Lena the other day at the hospital, and then the screen popped up elevate. I'm like, what is going on here? Everywhere we go, they were telling me in Rio Rancho when they were looking for this location that they found this building that said Elevate on it. Everywhere I go, I'm not kidding you. I got invited to a conference recently, just this past week. It says, we want to invite you to this Elevate conference. And I'm like, Elevate, Elevate. Everywhere I turn, everywhere I look, everywhere, it's like Elevate, Elevate, Elevate. And so this is what the word of God gave us in November and December of this past year. And January, we broke it out. We've been declaring that this is the year to elevate. And we broke down what it means, so I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, elevate is pretty simple. A simple explanation is getting up to the next level, getting up to the next level. We use the analogy, we use the story of climbing Mount Everest, of how difficult it is to get to the summit of Mount Everest as an example of how God wants to take us. And sometimes we look at our mountain and it looks so big, but you know what? If we have the right guide to take us up the mountain, if we have the right mindset and we have the right mentality and the hunger and the desire to get there, we're going to get there. And you're going to get there. And if you're hungry for God and you're thirsty for the Lord and you have this driving force that says, you know what, I want all that God has for me. How many of you want all that God has for you? Amen. All that he has for you. God has so much for you. I think sometimes we look at ourselves like, you know, okay, I'm a sinner and God, I just barely snuck in and God saved me by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, but I don't deserve nothing. I want you to know that'd be like saying whenever your kid has done something wrong and then after that you just punish him for the rest of his life and he doesn't have nothing coming. Never going to get a blessing, never going to eat at your house, never going to get anything from you, no inheritance from you ever when you die, nothing like that because you know what, you're lucky to just be my son. No, that's not the way our God is. Our God is a God that wants the best for his children. He wants the best for you. And all he wants you to do is position yourself in the right place. And that is in the elevated state, is to position yourself for what he has for you here. In the writer of Hebrews, he says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. You be confident about God. Remember the great reward it brings to you. And he says, patient endurance. Oh, when you think about that word endurance, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. It's what you need, he says. It's what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. In other words, don't stop doing God's will. You have to endure situations. You have to endure circumstances. You have to endure whatever's going on in your life because the blessing is coming. It's part of your positioning yourself for the blessings that God has for you. He says, then you will receive all that he has promised. Think about Abraham. Think about how he they couldn't wait, man. They even jumped the gun. But when they did finally just, then he was 100 years old when he finally got the son of the promise. Why? Because it took some time. Sometimes a good thing takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you don't build this amazing marriage just like right after, like just get honeymoon and then everything's perfect. When you know, people get married, and we had a lot of weddings going on in our church, a lot of babies being born in our church, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of movement going on physically, but spiritually there's a significance to that. And when you get married, you know, you get married and then all of a sudden now two lives now live at the same house. And things are a little different then. Like, you know, where you just throw things like that, it ain't good like that no more because mama don't want you throwing things just all over the corner and all that stuff like that. Now you got to put things in order. It's like, oh, man, things have changed around here. And it's like it takes a little patient endurance for the wife to adjust to the husband and for the husband to adjust to the wife. Come on, somebody. He might be used to having things on the counter in the bathroom a certain way, and she doesn't like it like that. She might want it in the drawer. Hello, somebody. She might want it over here like that. This thing's changing. You have to adjust. There has to be some endurance. Come on, somebody. And after a number of years, after 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years, and in our case, it's going to be 42 years, you learn how to adjust a little bit. You learn how to have a great marriage. Why? Because you patiently endure. Sister Barbara has had to patiently endure with me. Amen? Everybody can say amen if you'd like. I'm not going to get offended. I understand. I know who I am. We place our confidence in God. Now, because we've been praying for direction, God said, I want you to get to the next level. There are some steps we have to take, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But many of us here today, one of the things that in this season right now, we are on a mission to reach hurting people. Why? Because there's how many people at your job are like really lost and broken? You know some of their business. They share it with you. It's really weird. Isn't it weird how sometimes like you can't even believe people just come dump on you and say, man, you see what happened to me. I feel like I can trust in you and I'm going to share with you what's going on in my life. And you look at them and say, wow, what can I do for you? Well, I'm going to tell you what you can do is you can pray for them and you can invite them to your church. And you can get some counseling because people are going through stuff, man. People are lonely. People are broken. People are lost. People are hurting. People are getting divorced. There's so much going on. People are addicted and they don't look addicted. There's not the normal addiction. You know, the kind of addiction that's out there and you see, oh, that guy looks like a dope fiend out there in the street. I'm not talking, they're hidden addicted. There's a lot of hidden addicted people out there, addicted to prescription meds and addicted to all kinds of things. And when God allows you to get into that business and people actually come and say, I want to share in confidence with you that right now, man, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I look good on the outside, but man, on the inside, I'm dying, man. I don't even want to know if I'm going to make it. That's your time. That's okay. Praise the Lord, man. I'll pray for you. No. You got to do more than that. God wants you. God brought them to you so that you could be able to share with them and say, listen, let me tell you how I overcame that. Let me tell you what God did in my marriage. Let me tell you what God did in my life. Let me tell you how, you know what, I got this good job, but I didn't always have a good job. You should have seen the way we were. We were quitting. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. We were almost homeless, or we were living in our car, and we drove up. And you know what? God did some miracle. And see, when you start to share with them, God brings them to your life for a reason. God shows you, and He shows them through your life how to endure that patient time. So each one, reach one is important. But sowing that seed is just as important. Now, we're believing for miracles. I'm believing for miracles in my family. Man, I just received one of the biggest miracles in my family. That I got a call about 2 months ago, me and my wife, from my daughter that lives in L.A. She's always been in, she was born in just north of L.A. She always told us, I'll never be here in Albuquerque. I'm going to move to L.A. I'm going to live there all my life, raise my family there. Well, guess what she did? She did that. She moved over. She moved back for a little bit, but she moved back over there, found the love of her life. And Maddie, my son-in-law, he's an amazing young man. It's a phenomenal young man. And they live in L.A. He's been living in L.A. for 16 years. He's from New York originally, so two big, huge, mega cities, the two biggest cities in America. And so we thought, they're never going to ever move back over here. And so they called us a couple months ago and said, God spoke to us. He said, you know what? It's time to come home. And we couldn't believe it. Last night when we pulled in, and I looked at Nat, and she looked at me. She goes, I can't believe I'm living back in Albuquerque, Dad. And you know what's crazy? Is they're at the top of their game. My son-in-law, he owned a company, and he sold it. And then the guy kept him on as a consultant and paying him good. And he said, hey, listen, he goes, I'm going to be moving to Albuquerque, man. He goes, I'd like to still work for you, but I got to move to Albuquerque. So if you want me to work from there, I can work from there. And the boss said, of course, I want you to work from there. You just go ahead and work from mobile. And so everything just fit in for them. I'm so excited. Now, that was a miracle for us because I got a brand new grandson on the way. Natalia, she is pregnant with our newest grandson. His name is Rocco. You know, Rocco. And it's like, my son-in-law is Italian. So, no, it's Rocco, brother. It's good, you know. And so it's Rocco. And so now McKenna is going to be able to come to kids' church. And McKenna's going to be able to be with us now. We can help take her to school. And, man, it's just crazy. It's amazing to see. Well, it's a miracle for us. All we did is sow some seed. All we did is believe God and pray every single day. God, we didn't pray for them to move back. We just prayed for them for God's will to be in their life. And so what I'm saying to you is that we're your example. You know what? You need something from God. You have a big need in your family, in your marriage, or in your life. Man, God's there to do it, but you got to be enduring. You have to endure some things. You have to stand. If you're believing for revival in your family, listen, God's going to do it. When I first got saved, everybody started getting saved. I remember when my dad got saved, everybody started getting saved. A lot of people started getting saved. Why? Because just one example in the family, just one example at your job, just one example in the neighborhood, just one example. God can do a work in that life. Amen? And so, but that takes elevating your faith. Now, the word endure, in one portion of Scripture, in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to disciples about the end times. And he's talking about, hey, you're going to be deceived. Many are going to be deceived. And he's talking about the wolves coming in and all that. But then he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that word, that original word for the word endurance here is the word. It's a Greek word that says, it's pronounced hupomone. And it means to hold your ground, to bear up against adversity, to hold out under stress, to stand firm, to persevere under pressure and with calm in your heart and with courage in your heart. It's hard to hold up under courage when things are going crazy. Come on, somebody. But it's not a passive resignation to fate and just a mere patience. Okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. No, it's active. It's energetic. It's a resistance to defeat. It allows you to be calm and brave in your endurance. Come on, somebody. It describes a remaining faithful, a remaining with your head straight on. You're able to wait with faith and not just wait with worry. Come on, somebody. It's a constancy. It's a perseverance. It's a continuous. It's a steadfastness. It's a hold out and be patient. But I'm being patient, but I'm not going to let go of this thing. I'm going to hold on. It describes the capacity to continue even in the midst of your most difficult circumstances. Listen, not with complacency, but with hopeful fortitude and actively resisting weariness and defeats saying, oh my God, it's never going to happen. No, it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I'm going to hold on. I know my promise is coming. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my husband's going to get saved. I know my daughter's going to come to the Lord. I know that my boss is going to see what I see and is going to let me off on Sundays. I know. And when you have that kind of attitude and you walk in that attitude, God sees that faith and God sees your faith and he honors that faith. And he works. Say, well, my boss will never, ever, ever, ever. He hates God. You just let that boss go to the doctor one time. You know what they said? There's an old story, right? Pastor Charles, you were in the army, right? You know a little bit something about foxholes. They say there are no atheists in foxholes. That means when you're under war, when there's a big war going on and there's bombs dropping everywhere and bullets are flying right there, you know you're going to call out on somebody. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, turn with me real quickly. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, the Bible reads, and just catch up, it'll be on the screen. Catch up with me because I want to make sure I finish this message. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain. Everybody say, it never rained before. It had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Up to this time, God had not allowed an outpouring of rain. No rain, according to verse 4. There was a little bit of water, and there was water on the earth, and God had caused a moisture to come up from the earth to give moisture to the earth. The question is, why no downpour? Why had it not rained? You see, the Bible says it hadn't rained because there was nobody to till the ground. Because if it rains, things are going to grow. And if you don't have somebody cultivating what's growing, then things are going to grow wild. And so then he says, I love what he says in verse, there's no one to till the ground, but then God formed a man. Then God formed somebody to till the ground. And he gave him a mandate. He gave him an assignment. Amen? So we see here that the word till is the word to labor by plowing and by harrowing and by helping raise the crops, to plow and to prepare for the seed and to sow the seed and to dress it up and to raise the crops and to make sure that it's all taken care of, to prepare for the big harvest, to prepare for what's about to come out of that harvest. And there's some things that God has planned to do, some things that he has to provide for you, some things he wants to, he desires to do for you, but he won't do until there is a man or a woman in the right place or the right position elevated into the next level where you're supposed to be so that he can get what he intends to get to you. Up to now, most of you have just been experiencing a little mist in your life. And you feel good for a while, and it's a mist, and God looks good. And then all of a sudden, something slams you from the side, or you get hit with this news, or that happens. And all of a sudden, you begin to see your knees buckle a little bit, and things begin to get a little bit tough on your faith, and you begin to question God, and you don't show up to church, and you say, I'm just going to stay home, and stuff like that happens, and all of a sudden you realize that, you know what, you're not in the position to get God's blessing yet. There's no downpour upon your life yet. Why? Because you're not in the right position. The right position means that you're going to trust God no matter what. That word endurance we talked about, that you're going to look at adversity in the face and say, I'm going to stand even though I don't feel like standing. I'm going to trust even though I don't feel like trusting. I'm going to believe even though I don't feel like believing. You see, he's getting ready to rain upon your life. He wants to rain on you. He wants to rain on this church. He wants to rain on our city. He wants to bring revival to the city of Albuquerque. He wants to bring revival to your family. But you've got to position yourself and get in the right place for your assignment. Huh? For many of you, you've been relentless. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. You've been relentless up to this point. Pastor Joe always says, Pastor, after all the investment of what I've done, where can I go? What can I do? Think about that for a minute. Think about what I'm talking about. You've been relentless up to now. Don't give up now. Huh? There is more that God has for you that He wants to release upon your life. But you got to be in the right place. You have to elevate to the right position so that God will be able to pour out. Because you can't handle what He wants to pour out to you in the place you're at right now. You need to grow. You need to be hungry. You need to spend more time with God than you ever have before, so you'll begin to understand why He wants to bless you. And when He blesses, you'll understand what you do with that blessing. Come on, somebody. Way down inside of you, you know that you're not fully, completely, exactly where you need to be. You know there's just a couple of little adjustments you can make. But if you make those adjustments, there comes the rain. I said, there comes the rain. Some of you have been frustrated. You've had an uneasiness in your spirit that causes you to ask, why can't I get a breakthrough? Why can't my marriage get on track? Why can't I beat this addiction? Why can't I get a better job? Why can't I be blessed like everybody else is blessed? And see, you're so busy looking everywhere else that you forget to look inside and say, if I just make a couple of adjustments, if I just make a couple of true statements to God and say, Lord, you know where I'm at and I need more of you. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming your wife, brother. Quit blaming your husband, sister. Quit blaming your job and your ministry and your church, your pastors and your leaders and your Bible study leaders. You blame the last pastor you had or the last church you have, and now you want to come blame me? Don't try to blame me. I don't even know you. Just because I didn't seat you right, I'm not the seater. I'm the preacher. You want to blame everybody. You blame the government. You blame Trump. Blame Obama. Blame Bush. Clinton. You just blame everybody. Well, what about just putting some blame on you? What about admitting some stuff and saying, you know, I don't got it all together. I'm gonna get my minds off the government, my minds off of my leaders, and I'm going to start looking inside and say, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I need to make some changes here. Because see, when you start doing that, see, whatever you keep in the dark and you don't talk about, you don't deal with, it's gonna stay there. It ain't gonna grow. But if you'll just get some solid truth, you and God, say, God, I need to be a little more patient. See, is God waiting on us to get into the right place, to elevate to that right position, so He can pour out His blessing? Is He waiting? Because you might have to ask yourself that question. You see, when you're in right alignment with God and His purposes, then He will have an avenue to bless your life. See, there's something about God's favor. The word favor is in the word favor in the Hebrew is the word ratzon, ratzon. And that word, what it means to have unusual grace and just total, there's nothing greater than God's favor. It's like the definition is that it describes somebody that's pleased with somebody. And it doesn't mean you're perfect, but He just loves you. You know that one kid, some of you have four or five kids, right? And they're like, all of them are like, they do everything perfect. But it's that one kid, they're like, man, what is wrong with this boy? What's wrong with this girl? But then there's something inside of you that like, I just love that kid, even though I feel like just, I love him. That's the way God is with you. That's the way God is with me. He says, Danny, if I could just get you in the right place, I want to pour out my blessing upon you. See, there's something, but I got your favor. That's why, you know what, I don't care where I'm at. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what vehicle I'm in. If we go someplace, I'm getting a front parking. I look at that. I was with my son-in-law the other day in Pasadena. We went, drove into Pasadena, and no parking anywhere. We parked way over to the corner of this big old parking lot. He couldn't find the numbers so he could put the money in there. He goes, there's no numbers. And I look, there's a parking right here in the front, man. He looks at me, he goes, well, he gives me the keys. I go, okay, I got the keys. Drove out that park right in front of the restaurant. The busiest. My wife knows Pasadena's crazy. You don't have no parking there on the street. There's no street parking there. It's crazy. I just park right in there. Whoop, no problem. And he goes, wow, this parking wasn't there when we pulled up. I said, I know, but God creates things like that. He goes, really? I go, ooh, you know. I go, I got a front favorite parking. People say, well, you get a parking because you're the pastor over here. Yeah, but they don't know I'm the pastor over at that earth cafe I was eating at. They have no idea who I am. In fact, they moved me right along pretty fast. There's something about God's favor. Do you want God's favor? You got to position yourself for God's favor. All it is just trusting Him. Now, God wants to pour His favor upon you. When you're aligned with God, ooh, He's pleased. He wants to pour His favor on you. Listen, you won't even be able to contain what God has for you. He wants to elevate every area of your life. God wants to put you to position yourself to receive the favor. He says, well, I don't got no favor coming. I don't think I'm going to ever get no favor. Listen, God wants to pour out His favor on your life. You just got to position yourself to that place. See, some of you get it backwards. God wants you to position yourself, and some of you want a position. Say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're using words again. No, listen. God wants you to position yourself, and some of you are too wrapped up in your position or what the position I need to have. You got it wrong. That's not the way God works. David was anointed king. All the other sons looked like they should have been in that position. Every one of Jesse's sons looked capable of being the next king. They looked it, they act like it, they talk like it, they were built like that, and then this skinny little youngster, 15 years old, shows up, and boom, the light is shown on him, and Samuel, the prophet anoints him with oil and says, that's the next king. But he didn't move into the palace that next day. It took like 10, 12 years for him to ever, in fact, he lived in a cave for a number of years. See, God wanted him to position himself to become the king. But he wasn't about the position. David didn't care about the position. He cared about positioning himself for God's favor, for God's blessing. And if you'll just position yourself in God's favor, God will pour out the rain upon your life. God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your family. How many of you want your family, your children and your children's children to have a better life than you ever had? The problem is that until they see you give up your own life, they're not going to want to give up anything. They're going to learn how to hold on to everything like you do. God said, let it go. You position yourself by letting things go, not by holding on. Now, four things real quickly that will get you in the position to receive God's blessing, His reign, everything. Number one is that you have to let go of your personal agenda. You've got to let go of what is the most important thing to you, and that's your own personal agenda. This is the way I like it. This is the way I want to do it. If you'll just let it go to God. See, how many know we're living in a time where people have become more selfish and more mobily alone than ever. And if you really take a look at our lives, the social media, gaming, like, you know, the kids gaming, kids don't play football in the street no more. And you know what's crazy is, I don't even remember my mom and my dad having a guard out in the front right there making sure a car didn't hit us when we were playing football in the street. They just let us play football in the street. And guess what? They told us, don't get hit by a car. And that's all they had to do. None of us wanted to get hit by a car. We're not dumb. We want to continue to play football. But now, people play football on a screen. We used to play basketball till 1 a.m. out in my neighborhood. Now the kids play till 1 a.m. or 2 a.m, but on NBA Live. Ooh, you see that dunk? I'm LeBron James. I dunked over you. That's the kind of world we live in. And they're not, you know what's crazy? Is there's nobody even in the room with them. They're playing against somebody online someplace else. Somebody's saying. Yeah, I love that stuff too. I'm not downing it. I'm just I'm just kind of giving you a little step about where we live in a very selfish, very alone kind of society, and it's building more and more and more for that. To the point where, you know, they're trying to get rid of, like, every store. I remember years ago, I saw this commercial, and I thought it was so weird. This guy with a long top coat, he walks out of the store. He's shopping, putting things in his pocket. And he walks out of the store, goes, beep, beep, beep. The guy stops and looks, and the security guard says, you forgot your receipt. And I'm thinking to myself, you see that when you go to the little mini Walmart. You go to any of the Walmarts, any of the stores. It's all self-checkout. In fact, they only have usually one, even at Home Depot. I spent my life at Home Depot fixing this place up for 3 years. And we're not done yet. And how many know we have all the money we need to finish the building, by the way? Guess where it's at? In your bank. We'll talk to you about that after Easter, amen? We got a lot of stuff to do. We got some good stuff we want to do outside. We want to pay. We got a lot of stuff to do. But it's like, it's crazy because you go through there and everything's automated. You know what I told one of the guys that are working? There's one guy for like six of those. I go, they're getting rid of you, man. He goes, what? I go, this is getting rid of you. They don't need you. Pretty soon I have a robot right here, dude. No, I'm not. That's not even funny anymore. We used to be funny when we used to be, you know, Will Robinson and all that kind of stuff back in the day. Only a few of you know that, if you're old enough to know who Will Robinson is. But you know, there's been robots coming. We're gonna ask him, hey, my 20 won't go in. Maybe that 20 is not real. I don't know what they're gonna say, but you know, they're just doing away. We're living in a selfish world. You don't have to deal with people. See, that's why if you have a personal agenda, say, I don't want to deal with people. You can't go without dealing with people and be a man of God or woman of God. Huh? Letting go of your own agenda says let go of your selfish spirit. Serving Christ involves serving others. Evangelism, discipleship, being with people. David had to leave all of his own plans and agenda to the side. He was a shepherd boy. He loved his job. He had his guitar. He had his stuff out there in the field. He was used to being in the field. He smelled just like the sheep. He was out there, and then boom, all he did was go down and visit his brothers. His dad said, go down and visit your brother, take him some quesadillas, get down there, see what's going on down there. And then, well, you know the story, he saw the giant was talking masa, and he took the giant out, and he got criticized by his brothers, and the king pulled him in and said, you're going to be one of my right-hand man now, you're going to be my little warrior, and boom, there he was. But he still wasn't the king. He still wasn't in position, but he was positioning himself for God's blessing. And see, you see in his life, you look at Moses, he put his own plans. He lived in the palace, but when he saw the cause and what God was doing and God what God wanted to do with it, he wanted to deliver his people, the Hebrew people, from being slaves and from being beaten and from being abused from the Egyptians. He says, no way, and he stood up for the cause. And what happened? It took him out of his own selfish ambition, his own selfish life from being, think about that for a minute. About what it means to give up your own agenda. You see, Jesus had to go to the cross. Paul, he gave up his own agenda. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a very learned man. He was a very, very educated man. But he gave all that up to what? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everywhere. And look what God used him to do. God used him to write two-thirds of the New Testament. See, position yourself. Get in the right place. Second thing, if you come to the keyboard. Second thing is, you've got to know what God's assignment is for your life. Successful people have one thing in common, all of them. Everybody that's successful has one thing in common. They know they have a purpose that's bigger than them. You have to know that your purpose is bigger than you. You can't just expect. Listen, we've got a big purpose in God. Our purpose is bigger than our own lives. And then secondly, you have to know your assignment. You have to absolutely know that what you're supposed to be doing, not just your purpose, but the assignment in the purpose. They know where they're going. They know where they're going, and they know what they're going to do when they get there. That's what the assignment is. So you have purpose. I got all this purpose. I'm going to do this. And when you get there, like, well, what do I do when I'm here now? You have to know what you're supposed to do. That's called the assignment. See, these people have the ability to remain focused on their purpose no matter what's going on around them. David knew he was born for a purpose, but he didn't realize what even that day when they showed up to, when the prophet showed up, he's like, oh, what's going on here? And they anointed him as king. He's boom, out of nowhere. It was just, whoa. And then he gets out to the battle, and all of a sudden now the very king Saul that was loving on him is now trying to kill him and chasing him. He's realizing, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the king and they're chasing me and I'm living in a cave and I'm with all these crazy guys now and what's going on here? And we don't realize that he was positioning himself for the blessings of God. You have to know your purpose, but you have to know your assignment and your purpose. Part of our purpose is to walk in victory. Listen, if you're not walking in victory, then you're living beneath what God has for you. David knew his purpose and he knew that God wanted to give him victory. One of the biggest parts of our purpose as believers is to reach other people. God saves us, but he didn't just save us so we can have just a great life, although that's part of it. He saves us so our eyes can open. Say, wow, I remember when I was right there at that young couple. Me and Barb did it all the time. Say, Barb, remember when we were in that same position and somebody would just come and rescue us? Had no means. We didn't have no way. But God would use people. See, not just you personally, but our church, we have a mission, man. We've got a whole year planned out of amazing evangelistic thrusts. And you know what? Sometimes people don't join that thrust because they don't understand or they may be afraid to go. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When we have these events, these big dramas, and we do evangelism out there, and we bring the UTCs coming, we do Code Red. Ladies, do Code Red. We're reaching prostitutes. One couple years back, we had over 100 prostitutes in this room. I got the opportunity to come up and lead them to the Lord, many of them. You girls bless them. You get nails for them in their hair. And you bless them with clothing. And you looked them in the eyes and said, you are somebody. The devil's trying to convince you that you're dirt and you're nothing, but that's the lie from the devil. You know what? The devil had you. Some of our own ladies said, you know what? I used to be where you were at. And then some of them, I remember just being broken, just broken. God's called us to do a lot of heavy different things. So you watch out. You're going to be seeing the announcements. We have a lot of stuff going on. It starts off with Easter. That Easter egg hunt is going to draw thousands of people. We want you to be out there. Not just for Easter Sunday, but come that Saturday. We're going to be putting these big baskets together. My daughter that just moved here, that was her vision. The first time we did it, we had 7 of them. I think last year we had like 60 or 70. We want to get 100 of them. Big baskets. There'll be more information about how to get a big basket at that. Not just but it has all kinds of stuff in it. And we've heard families say, you know what? I didn't even know how I was going to wash my clothes for my kid this week. And then you guys give me this big old bottle of Tide. Just Tide soap was a brokenness to that lady. Was a sign that God still loves her. You have to understand when God's called us to reach hurting people, that there's not just an urgency and a burden. But if we have an urgency and burden, and we don't put anything to plow, if we don't do anything with that, and that goes for everybody, it's not just for one or two people. That's why we do that. Our new campaign this year, we moved out of Stop the Violence campaign. And we're calling our campaign this year, Hope for Albuquerque. Hope for ABQ. And we're believing God. God's going to pour out his love and his power upon the city of Albuquerque. Listen, we have an assignment. We have been a Holy Ghost hospital for this city for the past 33 years. Just March the 6th was 33 years this church was established. We've been a trauma center for the brokenhearted. Huh? We've been a place where the outcast of society could come and find dignity. We've been focused on reaching treasures out of darkness. You see, when you're under alignment, you won't end up following the wrong assignment. But if you're not aligned under the vision of what God has for you, you're always going to be falling under a different assignment. You know, I hear people all the time, oh, you know, I was coming to church, but now I'm going over here. And oh, then I moved from over there, I'm over here. And I like that. Because they don't know what they're aligned. They're not aligned under anything. And they don't have no assignment. Their assignment is not clear. It's just popping around from this next fad to that. You see something on TV and they start following that. And then even people even move cities for that. And think it's God sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes God does move. But I'm saying it's like you have to be under alignment with God, what God wants, so that you can find your right assignment. Position yourself. Thirdly, and I have one more. You've got to possess a vision. David's vision was pretty broad until he saw the giant. He saw that giant. And he said, oh, this is my assignment now. It was more than just the clarity of vision, but now he knew he had an assignment to take the giant out because Israel was being defeated. Some of you, your family is being defeated. Sometimes in the ministry, we've been getting defeated by the enemy. We've been backed off fighting, just a few of us. And then all of a sudden, some of you, God raises up some of you and you show up to the king and say, Pastor, I came here to fight with you. Not with you, but like with you. I got my sword. Point me in the direction. I got my Bible. Point me in the direction, Pastor. And you know what? There's a lot of you here today that God sent you to this church in a time when we were fighting for our lives. And God rose you up in the middle of it right there only so you can go side by side with Sister Barbara and I and their leaders and say, Pastor, we're in this together. We're going to get a building. Don't you worry, Pastor. So many encouraging words. When we didn't have a building and I was like, oh my God, we're never going to get a building. I started losing faith for a minute. I started losing a little bit. And all of a sudden, before somebody come along, one of you come along and say, Pastor, let me raise up that arm for you right now. Let me know, let you know something. Don't you give up. You've been at this too long, Pastor. I don't forget those days. I don't forget the who's either. See, David saw the vision, but now he knew his assignment. There's a benefit to the vision. When you catch the vision, there's benefits to it. There's nothing like going clear on what you're supposed to be doing. See, David was positioning himself. He had elevated his perspective. He had elevated who he was now. By stepping up and making himself available, God rained on his life. God poured out his favor on him. God is saying, make yourself available. There's people that need you. People at your job. People in your neighborhood. People in your family. They need you. People in this church need you. So position yourself. Lastly, you've got to get prepared. If you want what God has for you, you got to prepare yourself. Just get ready. Let God do what he wants to do by getting ready. In order to get in position, you've got to prepare yourself. Get into the right place. You may not have another opportunity in this season. The window is opening up. You need to know that it's time to get under the alignment so you can be in the right assignment. Listen, David had already been trained for a lot of things, but it wasn't until he positioned himself in the right place where God raised him up to be the next king of Israel. Listen, God wants you to know that the battle doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him, but there's time where you got to pick up your sword. He'll fight the battle for you, but God says, pick up that sword and don't leave it in the sheath. Don't leave it on the ground. You pick it up and you fight. You fight for your life. You fight for your family. You fight for this church. You fight for your city. You don't let this city go down on your watch. Yeah, we have a lot of addiction in our city. Yeah, we got a lot of crime in our city. But that's why God wants to raise up a ministry to say, listen, I'll go where nobody else wants to go. I'll go to the darkest places of our city. I'll go and meet those families, even though they don't look like they want God. I'll go talk to them. Send me, Lord. See, in this particular story, there was nobody to fight the battle. All the army of Israel, not one warrior would face this giant. You know why? Because they weren't in position. What about you? Are you in position? Are you in position to battle for your family, for your church, for your city, for this nation? Elevate your position. It's your time. It's time right now. God's opening doors around the world in Victory Outreach. Some of you are not going to be here forever. You know why? There's going to be some of you that are going to go out to other cities and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to go to other countries and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But until you position yourself in the right position, that'll only always be a dream and never a reality. Let's make it a reality by positioning, preparing ourselves. When I look in this crowd, I see three generations. I see a pioneering generation. Many of you that pioneered this church, pioneered this ministry. You've been pioneers 30 years, 40 years, serving Christ faithfully like a pillar, solid, unmovable, unshakable. Even the toughest trials of your life, the devil hasn't been able to take you out. amazing. I see another generation. That's my generation, the Joshua generation that came along, you know, a little bit later after the pioneers. That Joshua generation that stood up and says, I'm ready to fight. Let's do it. And God says, here's the mandate. But I see a third. There's a third one that we've been talking about. It's called the third wave revival. It's called the third wave group. It's the now generation. That's that group of young people that have the eye of the tiger. That's that group that has that look in their eyes like, you know what? Nothing's going to stop us. That's like the song we sing, nothing's going to stop my prayer. They have that look. That those songs are in their hearts. That's something, you know what? They're ready to take on the next. But see, until the third wave, until that generation gets in the right position, Joshua generation will have to continue to lead things. And the pioneers will have to continue to pray it through. They'll have to continue to work it out. Because the generation that's coming has to be in the right position to receive the rain from God. Come on, somebody. Huh? So they're not just for the now. Because, you know, they're called God's anointed now generation to do it now. But we have a future. If the Lord tarries another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and it looks like crazy, because it looks like the Lord's coming soon, but we don't know when He's coming. So if He tarries another 20, 30 years, what is it going to look like? If we don't have warrior generation right now that's being raised up, if we don't have a generation of warriors, a generation know how to position themselves in the right place, you know what the greatest position you can have is on your knees. The greatest position you can have is your hands raised up. Those are the first two positions that you should learn. Those are the first two things you should have in your heart is on your knees and with your hands lifted up. Because if you have God, you have everything. If you don't have God, you have nothing. I want to close with this scripture. Hosea 10 and 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Ask God to show you. Ask Him to show you any soft places in your spiritual life that have become hardened so that the soil of your heart can be ready to receive the seed that He wants to place in it so it can bear fruit. Ask God, Lord, is something hardened in there that won't allow me to plow up that ground? Or is there something that's just too mushy and too soft and too sensitive and oversensitive that everything offends me? You know, I don't talk about this a lot, but we live in a society that there's so many people get offended for everything. You can't talk about nothing without something being it becomes a Supreme Court issue. I'm sick of it, but I know it's a sign of the times. I'm just saying. It's like everybody's so sensitive. If you get close to a car, people are like, oh, you got close to my car. I'm so offended. I'm going to see if there's a law that we can pass about getting close to cars. It's sick, man. It's sick. It's out of control. As a believer, you don't have a right to be so sensitive. You know why? Because this earth don't belong to you. This is not your home. Heaven's your home. Why are you trying to make it like this is your home? This is not your home. There's a rapture coming soon. The Bible says, first the dead in Christ shall rise, and then those of us who remain alive shall be caught up in the air together with the Lord. That could happen at any time. What are you doing so stuck? Like you can't let go. That's why you can't have your own agenda. You need God's agenda. If you want God's blessing, He said in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, patient endurance is what you need now. So you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that God promises for you. Hold out for the promise, man. Don't let go. Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We got more churches to plant. We got more things to do. We got more souls to save. We got so much to do for God. But that takes endurance. That takes holding on. That takes some patient endurance. God is waiting for you to get in the right position before He pours out His blessing on you. You've been waiting a long time. All you need to do is make a couple of adjustments and watch what God does. You see, if you're in alignment with God and His purposes, He's going to cause it to rain on your life. But You know what you got to do. You got to let go of your agenda. You need to know what God's purpose for your life. You got to get that vision inside of you like never before. And you got to start preparing yourself for what's next. Because if you're going to elevate, that means you need to climb a little bit. If you're going to elevate this year in 2019, then you need to get to the next place. And the next place don't come easy for everybody. You got to climb a little bit. You got to pray a little bit more. You got to witness a little bit more. You got to share a little bit more. You got to love a little bit more. You got to forgive a little bit more. You can't be the same Christian you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Listen, this is a new day we're living in. We're living in a new time right now. And that means that if a new time requires a new spirit. A brand new day requires a new thing. God said, I'm doing a new thing inside of you. Can you not see it? He wants to bless your life. And all he's saying is just position yourself. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. There's some of you this morning. God has so many plans for you. He has so much provision for you. He desires to pour out. Some of you have an assignment, but you're not walking the assignment because you're not under alignment. God is saying, get under alignment so I can give you your assignment. See, He will not do that until you get in the right place to receive what God intends to give you. Up to now, you've just been experiencing that little bit of mist. But God said, I'm getting ready to rain. You want the rain. I want to make a strong appeal this morning. Where God has spoken to you and said, Pastor, I know God wants to bless my marriage. All I need to get in the right position. I know God wants to use my life to preach the gospel. I just got to get in the right position. I know God has a better job for me that's going to free me up for ministry and free me up for my family. I just got to get in the right position. I don't know where you're at. Everybody's in a different place here. Everyone. There's nobody the same position. Everybody's pretty much in a different position. But God is saying one thing. Position yourself so that I can pour out upon you. And if God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask them to sing this song. As they sing this song, I'm going to make a strong appeal for you to say, I want to get in position spiritually, emotionally. I want to get the place. I'm going to open up this altar for you. Say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to position myself. I'm going to get in that right place so that the blessings of God can come upon my life so that I can be a blessing to others. I don't want to be.